Colleges and universities across the country are canceling in-person classes and moving them online in order to reduce the spread of the coronavirus. But are they ready to do that? Joining us now is Betsy Berry, who's the executive director of the Center for the Advancement of Teaching at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. Betsy, welcome.
Thanks so much.
How prepared are most colleges to switch to online teaching in just a matter of days or weeks?
So this is a big ask. Certainly, we're all doing all that we can to make this happen. Many offices of online education, when they work with faculty to prepare them to go online, often spend a great deal of time with them. And sometimes this takes up to a year to prepare a really well-designed online course. So faculty need both knowledge and time, and often this takes a lot of time. And here in this situation, we're often telling folks who have never taught online, who may not be familiar with the technology, let alone the strategies, that you have a few days to do that. And that's a difficult task, but we're all trying to help each other as much as we can.
Right. Nobody has time for that. Do you think that as a result of that, that a lot of these online courses that are going to be taught kind of on the fly will simply be a video feed of the teacher, the professor, giving a lecture and everybody just be watching it?
I think that depends. I think many of us at higher institutions are working with faculty to give advice about things that they might do quickly. One of the things that I will say to them is, you know, try not to rethink everything. You don't have a lot of time. So try to keep your course plan as similar to what it would be in face-to-face as possible. So if you're doing lectures, try to figure out a way to do a lecture online. But if you're doing discussion, that might be via Zoom, right, via video chat. But sometimes that won't work so well. So, for example, we know that, you know, a 60-minute lecture online isn't going to be a great idea. And so often we'll suggest to break that up into 5-minute chunks. But we're also just trying to explain to faculty, you know, that try to make it as the best we can, but recognizing that it may not be, you know, a perfectly orchestrated experience for students or for faculty.
Most students today are digital natives. They've grown up with computers, phones, the internet. They're used to communicating and interacting online. Does that translate into being able to successfully learn online?
There are a couple things to think about here. The first is that, you know, we often assume that, you know, students are digital natives and that they'll know way more than we will know as faculty. But oftentimes, students are really not aware of how to use these platforms, particularly in this situation when many faculty may choose to use different tools. So students may be in 5 classes where they have to learn 5 different tools, and that can certainly be challenging for them. And we should take that into account. This is going to be stressful for our students as much as it is for us. One concern that many of us have is about whether our students will actually have access to the appropriate technology at home if we send them home. Mm-hmm. So whether they'll have a broadband, you know, the right devices. Some may only have phones. And so if they're taking this course on their phone. But on the flip side, certainly our students may have a number of good ideas for us. And so we've been encouraging our faculty to talk to their students to get their input as they're making decisions about how they might change when they move remotely. And giving the students a voice, I think, will also keep them more engaged. That's certainly what I'm planning to do in my course.
One of the things I've been wondering about is, you know, if students are paying tens of thousands of dollars to go to a university every year, and then the university says, okay, we're going online for the next 2 months. Do you expect some students and their parents will say, I want a refund. This isn't what I paid for?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't put myself in their shoes necessarily. I think that the students will likely want to continue. So, I mean, one thing we could do, there are other alternatives here. One is that we could give, you know, half credits. We could, you know, move to starting again in the fall. And I think many folks would like to have as little disruption as possible in this scenario. And so the hope is that everyone will understand that this is a quick fix and we're doing this in part for them. So my hope is that, you know, there won't be this outcry and demand for refunds of their tuition dollars.
Do you think that that will be done in the next several days, you know, before these schools have to start teaching these online courses?
I certainly hope so. And one of the best practices for online education generally, let alone in this scenario, is to be in communication with your students. Because things might break, things might not go exactly the way that you expect. Students may have issues that come up with their family or friends as they're traveling. And so the more that we can be in communication, the better off all of us are.
Betsy Berry, there are probably a lot of professors who are listening to this, teachers who are listening to this right now.
Yeah.
Maybe many students as well. What would your advice, first of all, be to the students who might have to start learning online, and then also to the professors who, for the first time, might have to teach online?
So I think for the students, I think it would say be flexible, be forgiving, and to also think about how you can organize your time. For students, when you come to college, you're often told now you have a lot of independence. You can decide, you know, when to study and when not to study, but this is going to be ramped up even more, and that you stay in contact with your faculty if you have questions. For faculty, if you try to redo everything and learn all the new tools, you're likely not going to do any of them well. But think of 1 to 3 changes. Look for approximations for tools that you already know or that are easy for students to learn, even if that's email, a Google Doc, something that you're really comfortable with so that you can focus on the learning rather than the technology in this scenario. And then finally, what I said too is, you know, invite your students into the conversation. It's really important.
Do you think this is going to be the biggest test of online learning in history?
It's a really great question. There have been some wonderful conversations about this. Those working in this world of online education have spent a number of years gaining expertise. They know how to do it well. They know how to produce good outcomes. And so some are saying, this is our moment. This is where we can show that actually you can do all of these things in an online environment. But then there are others who are saying, oh, this could actually set back online education a decade, because if faculty and students who have never experienced online education think that this is what online education is, it's going to reinforce their resistance. And so I think one thing that's really useful is making sure we draw a distinction between really well-designed online courses and what I would call is remote teaching in a state of crisis. We can still do it well, but it's going to look different than a really well-designed online program.
Betsy Berry is the executive director of the Center for the Advancement of Teaching at Wake Forest University. Betsy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.